You guys will excuse me. It's time to get restarted, so we can reconvene and try to stay on time. Our next first presentation after the break, presenting author is Maninder Singh. So I'll turn it to you.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Good morning, everyone. Today I'll be talking about our experience with our research on residue management in sugarcane after a green cane harvesting system. So traditionally in sugarcane, before harvesting, the crop is burned, and that's done to increase the efficiency of harvesting. Basically burns off all the extra biomass that's not harvested, but that has environment consequences, cause pollution, and even safety issues. So more recently, growers are willing to go with a green cane harvest system where essentially the cane is not burned, so it's harvested green. The implications with that is we have this thick residue layer that's left in the field, and that's primarily consisted of dead and green leaves and some stalks as well. And this thick layer in the field can affect the retuning ability of sugarcane, essentially a regrowth of cane after harvesting, in terms of impacting the soil moisture, the soil temperature, working as a mulch layer to impact the weed growth, and that can eventually impact the early season regrowth of sugarcane for the next harvest. So again, this layer can have a negative as well as a positive implications. It can basically suppress your soil temperature and even cause waterlogging because of all of the residue in the field. It can interfere with the various management practices such as fertilizer or any tillage operations. Some of the positive aspects could be it can act as a source of nutrients for the next crop, helps in the buildup of organic matter content of the field if you're dealing with a sandy soil. And it can also help with the soil water conservation and can act as a mulch layer essentially to reduce weed growth as well. So for this research, our hypothesis was that maybe we can minimize these negative implications of this residue layer by removing a part of it while still maintaining the positive aspects of this layer. So the specific objectives of our research were to evaluate the impact of residue removal on the microclimate, basically soil temperature and moisture, also looking at the response of weed growth to various levels of residue removal in the field, and finally to quantify the impacts of removing residue on the early sugarcane growth and eventually the final yields. So we can come up with some management scenarios for growers to be able to adopt this kind of production system. So this trial was done in South Florida on a privately owned farm, which was under a long-term green cane harvesting system. So there was no burning happening in that field in the last 8 or 9 years. The trial was conducted over 2 years on a sandy soil, 90% or more sand with poor drainage. And then we had 4 residue removal treatments in a randomized complete block design with 6 replications. And the study was conducted again in small plots, 4 rows. So as you can see over here, for our removals, we went with the 0% removal where we left all the trash in the field, and then went with a 33%, 66%, or 100% removal. Since most of the variables that we studied were impacted by how much residue or trash was left in the field, for this presentation, I'll be talking about a 0% removal essentially being all residue in the field, a 33% removal meaning a 2/3 of residue was left in the field, and then a 1/3, and then no residue in the field. The treatments were imposed directly after mechanical harvesting in plant cane as well as in first ratoon cane. The residue amount varied anywhere between 17 to 22 megagrams per hectare on a fresh weight basis. And we did some basic nutrient concentration in the residue, but didn't really look into details for that. All the residue removal treatments were done manually after the, let's see if this thing moves. After mechanical harvesting, we went back to the field, created our small plots, then went in with the rakes and manually removed the trash according to our treatments. After trash removal in plant cane, the data was collected in the first ratoon cane, essentially the first regrowth of sugarcane. And then again, after harvesting that crop in first ratoon, the data was collected in the second ratoon crop. And the data collection was done on microclimate. Soil temperature was collected using hobo temperature sensors at 5 and 15 centimeter depth, as you can see in the picture. And the residue was put back on the spot where the sensors were put in. Also, soil moisture was collected using a TDR sensor only in the second year of the study. The weed growth was estimated using weed counts in a small grid, as well as weed dry biomass within that grid. And then early sugarcane growth was measured using counting the number of shoots that come up in a unit area, and then final sugarcane yield was analyzed for tonnage, sucrose content, as well as sucrose yield. Moving on to the results, starting with soil temperature in 2014 in the first ratoon crop at 5 centimeter depth. Over here you can see the treatments being residue levels in the field, and that will be how all the tables will be presented, starting with all residue, coming down to two-thirds, one-third, and no residue level. And this data is presented in average temperature starting with end March in a 10 to 15 days cumulative period. So these numbers signify average temperature for that window. And you can see with all the residues, starting with the R residue, you have the lowest temperature, and then the temperature increased as the residue remover rate increased. Essentially, highest was observed in the no residue treatment. Similar results were found out up till early June. After that, there was no difference between our treatments. And we also found similar trends at 15 centimeter soil depth. So this suggests that the residue, if left in the field, does suppress soil temperature, and removing it can increase the temperature that can help with the early growth of sugarcane, as well as controlling against frost damage if that were to happen. Looking at 2015 second ratoon season, similar trends were observed over here. You can see early in the season we did not see any differences, but then no residue treatment had the highest temperature, followed by the one-third, and the two-third, and all residue treatments were significantly lower here again. And the similar trends were seen in the 15 centimeter depth. Just looking at a figure with the same data over here, these are the daily temperature averages, and you can see over here, almost in the middle of the season, there's a good separation between our no residue left in the field versus all residue that was left in the field treatment. So again, showing that there was a temperature suppression with the residue left in the field. Moving on to soil moisture, we collected this data only in the second ratoon crop. And you have the volumetric soil moisture on the y-axis and days after harvest on the x-axis. In this data, we did not see any difference for all of our sampling dates. And we believe that was due to poor drainage conditions that we observed in the field. If you look at the volumetric numbers, they're pretty high for a sandy soil. So the field was always too wet to record any differences. But on a different soil, we do expect some water conservation with the residue left in the field. Looking at weed growth in the first ratoon and second ratoon, here again you can see in the all residue treatment, the The residue essentially acted as a mulch, so there were very minimum weeds that grew in this treatment compared to a no residue, where we did see quite a bit of weed growth early in the season, and that did show up in our wheat dry biomass data that's over here. The blue bars are for 2014 first return season, and the red bars are for 2015 season. Here essentially we see that in the 2014 season, there was some wheat suppression even with the two-third residue left in the field, and nothing after that. In 2015 season, essentially only the all residue treatment had lower wheat biomass compared to everything else. So if we were to leave some residue in the field, we can save on a early herbicide treatment to control the weeds in the field. Moving on to early sugarcane growth in terms of shoot population early in the season, that's on the y-axis, and then days after harvest are on the x-axis over here. You can see the all residue treatment in blue at the bottom in the figure here had significantly lower shoot population throughout the growing season compared to our residue removal treatments, and the populations increased statistically as more and more residue was removed. By the end of the season, only all residue treatment was significantly lower than our no residue treatment. So essentially showing that the shoot population did come back in the all residue, but it was still lower than our no residue treatment. Similar data for the second return crop. Over here we really saw a huge penalty in shoot population in our no residue treatment throughout the growing season, as you can see in this blue line at the bottom of the graph. So essentially showing that all the residue that was left in the field interacted with the early emergence of the crop resulted in a lower population count early in the season. All right, looking at the final yield, over here I'm showing various yield parameters, starting with stalk numbers and then stalk weights, cane yield, and then the sucrose content, and finally the sucrose yield. Over here, again, we did not see any significant difference in all of our residue removal treatments, even though we saw differences in soil temperature and even wheat suppression, but we did not see any difference over here. And I believe that was primarily due to the fact that all that early growth in the no residue treatment wasn't sustainable, so it ended up basically killing some of the extra stalks. So the final stalk population was not different, and the stalk weight was not different among treatments, resulted in similar cane yield as well as sucrose yield in the first return crop, again in the first year of the treatments. But when we looked at the second year for similar data, we did see a significant decline in the cane yield as well as in the sucrose yield for the treatment where all of the residue was left in the field, showing some consequences eventually that happened because of all of the residue that was left in the field. So in summary, we did see increase in soil temperature with the removing of residue after harvesting. We did not see any difference in soil moisture, but we believe that if we were to do this experiment on a different soil with a better drainage, we would see some differences there. We did see suppression of weed growth with the residue layer essentially working as a mulch. We did observe a slow sugarcane growth early in the season, but that did not cause any yield penalty in the first year of the crop, but it did cause a decline in the yield in the second year. So overall, we believe that we need to manage this residue. We need to remove anywhere between two-thirds to one-third of the residue from the field to be able to make it economically successful for the growers, but we need to do more studies to validate that point. And with that, I would acknowledge all the people and funding agencies and take any questions you might have.
One brief question.
Yes, sir. So yeah, we have taken soil organic matter samples. We have not seen any differences in that yet, and we believe that was because of only 2 years of data. So we need to conduct this study for a longer time period to see any differences there.
Thank you.